Welcome to Heroes Asylum, issue 26. We're bringing our boomstick this time. That's right, inmates. It is Heroes Asylum, issue 26. I am Captain Mike. Next to me, or across the line from me, actually, is Thanatos Kane. How are you doing, brother?
How are you doing, Captain?
What's going on? Doing, you know. Enjoying this nice summer heat here in good old Florida.
Yeah.
A little behind the scenes news, folks. I am sitting here doing this in just my shorts because there is no AC in the Casa.
TMI.
Casa de Cabin. Yeah. So, hey, at least I got shorts on. Don't you worry. You're lucky this isn't the YouTube version of this. Trust me.
Yes, you're very lucky.
The world is not ready for that.
the world is not ready for these faces just yet.
This is a Sunday, our 26th episode. A little news breaking throughout the weekend. I was surprised, especially with San Diego Comic-Con, breathing down our necks here. It'll be here on Wednesday the time this is released, so about 2 days from today. I'm surprised we're getting some news out. I thought today was going to be kind of a dead, quiet day.
Nah, getting some stuff in slowly but surely. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So today, folks, our subject will be, after we do, of course, our admissions board, we'll be discussing just kind of like brainstorming, fantasy talk about what possibly could be coming down the pike for San Diego Comic-Con. We will know by next issue, but we just always like to tease the brain a little bit.
Yeah, it'll rub it a little bit, give it a little nudge and some predictions that we think might or may not happen. But in my case, they probably will happen.
You've been having a better record than me lately, so I'm going to go with you on this.
Yeah, my record is pretty good lately, I got to say.
So don't hurt yourself with the back there.
Nah, I never do.
So, folks, make sure you are subscribing to us. Thank you again for downloading it this time. But, please do subscribe. We are out there in the world for every podcast subscription. Share. Let everybody know about what's going on here. Let the community grow. We are getting bigger and bigger every day. The community on Facebook is growing, and we want to thank those folks. I'm sure some of them aren't listeners. I'm trying to get a lot of those folks to kind of switch. It's like we've got our podcast listeners and we got our Facebook guys. So I want to try to merge them all together here shortly.
Yeah, eventually we can do that. We got to bring all the love together. Yes, it's like Voltron. We just got to bring them all together.
Five mighty lions into one giant robot.
That's right. We can do it.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and get started like we all do every week here. We're going to go ahead and hit the admissions ward.
News from the admissions ward.
I like that new intro, by the way.
Change it up a little bit. Keep people guessing.
That's good. It reminds me of a Combat Cry song, so I dig it.
Very good, very good. So what do we have, sir? What do you got to start us off?
Well, I don't have that much news this week because, as you said, it is the precursor to Comic-Con. I have more stuff on Comic-Con, as it follows. Stay tuned. One of the most interesting news bites that I have from this week, the rumor for season 12 of Doctor Who is that the Cybermen will be facing Jodie Whittaker's Doctor in the upcoming season. Interesting. I've seen many versions of the Cybermen, and if you're a big Whovian like I am, you have also seen the Cybermen before. Interesting to have them being the first villain. You would think they would do somebody brand new. But I guess it's a way to keep the continuity of the series alive by having the Cybermen back with them. Interesting. Mike, I know you're not a big Whovian, so
unfortunately
not too many thoughts you're gonna have on this, but
I mean, the only thing I would think of, especially with how big of a change that they did with this Doctor Who, I would assume that they would go more classic villain, and that's just me. It's just being a fan of writing and sci-fi in general. If you're gonna shake up the tree that much with your first female Doctor, I can see going with a classic.
Yeah, they definitely are one of the classic ones. I thought they would probably go maybe Daleks, but you know, the Daleks have been overused and used thousands of times over and over again. Maybe the Weeping Angels, but probably they're more of a 10th Doctor thing. Actually, an 11th Doctor thing. But they were introduced while the 10th Doctor was around. But the Cybermen, I guess, are you would call, I guess, a safe choice. You know, I don't want to like use that word out of context, but they're safe. You know, you can build a season around them. Interesting. I thought Jodie did a great job in her first season as a Doctor. She nailed it, and she did great. I think all interpretations or any kind of doubts that anybody had, if you watch that whole first season, I mean, it's not for every Whovian because there are no classic villains. It's basically a new story, new villains, new everything. So just to get used to the newness of her along with everything else is probably going to be a little, you know, eye or earth shattering to some fans, but you get used to it after a while. You get used to her, and like every Doctor, at first you hate him, and then gradually as the series goes along, you start to love him. So that's, you know, that is if you got a chance to see that last season, season 11.
Very good.
But yes, the Cybermen are coming back.
Yeah, I have not heard any bad. I've heard a few, like, through the grapevine, you know, little grumblings about, you know, some people weren't happy, but everything else I've heard from every Doctor Who fan I know is happy with that Doctor, so that's great. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, you'll get a chance. I think it's on, I don't think it's on any streaming service right now. It used to be on Netflix. They took it off. I believe it might be on Hulu or Amazon, one of the two, but if you get a chance, watch the back issues of the new, back issues, back episodes. Check them out. And I think in the future we'll have a future episode so we can catch Mike up on the world of the Whovians.
Yes, and I'm sure there's some Whovians out there would love to hear that take on it from our
side. Oh, yes, sir. So what do you got, Mike?
Actually, it's funny you make that comment. This is a news that kind of had just rolled out, and I was trying to find my article on it, and it sort of vanished. But basically it was talking about the new announced James Bond that they are talking about for James Bond 25 that we were going to have. And where is it? I can't find her name right now. But they were talking about bringing in the actress that played Rambo in Captain Marvel. And as the new James Bond, or not James Bond, I take that back, as the new 007, which kind of hints at kind of what you were talking about with yours, with you know, the change of the Doctor.
Going in a female direction.
And it is interesting. I am one of these ones that will pick up the banner every time, and because I think Hollywood is very lazy in its writing lately in the last 5 years or so of reboots, rehashes, let's gender swap, let's change the gender, let's change the color of this person. And I feel it's a slap in the face to that gender or to that race to slap they're that person onto an already existing character. And it to me, I think it's lazy writing, really. But the way I had read this about this one is this, she will be in the last Daniel Craig movie. And she was basically picking up the new 007. She won't be a Janice Bond or whatever, you know, whatever the female version of it would
Jane
be.
Jane Bond.
You know, but the way they were talking is that she would basically, because if you're familiar with James Bond early on, and I think it was during the 70s, they actually had, you know, 008 and 009. They actually had, those were, everybody said it was 007 was the license to kill, but it's not that he has a license to kill, but 007 was his identifying number.
I believe in the GoldenEye movie, too, with Pierce Brosnan, there was a 006.
Yes.
That was the main villain of one of his, I think, the GoldenEye movie. So,
yeah, Lashana Lynch, that's who it is.
Yeah, that's Rambo from Captain Marvel.
Yeah, but they were talking, you know, but basically having her, and somebody had said that they have seen a cut scene of that where they're in the same room together and they kind of may have to work together is kind of the hinting of it, which at that point, if that's what they're doing, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, I mean, good with that, but it's like I said, it's those other ones where they try to keep the character. And again, it goes back to me for lazy Hollywood writing.
It's basically beating a dead horse. I mean, if you're going to have a character who's, you know, his origins are white, you know, keep him that way. You know, that's what they're used to. If you make a Black Panther movie and he's white, I mean, people would bitch holy hell.
Right. Well, it's not so much. It's more that they're not providing fresh characters. They're just slapping a new paint of coat.
Yeah,
that is. And I said exactly. That like the way it is onto something, onto a person. And it's, to me, it's not, it's, I think it looks down upon that those people that Hollywood thinks, oh, we can just make that person white now. It's continue with the same story, but just it's a female now. And that just, to me, that doesn't, and I'm not talking about Batwoman. Batwoman was created and generated that way. I'm talking about other characters that they've done it to. But also like with black characters where they're talking about turning the, a certain character black, like they've talked about doing that with Superman and talked about doing that with James Bond as well. You know there are great characters out there that are African-American, that are Asian. Use them. Bring those stories into the limelight, into the public view. Don't keep them hidden, to just the sweaties out there. Use it. Don't just change what we already know works. Take a chance. Well, create. And,
it's almost like they're trying to take existing IP and just put something over it.
Yeah.
Just so they can, hey, look, this is the IP. You know, it's Superman, but it's Michael B. Jordan. And like, okay, but now you've just changed the entire story of what Superman is.
Yeah, unless Michael B. Jordan grows up in a Smallville, in a farm town, no, you're going to want to change him to match his backstory, make it more urban, do this or do that. And that's when, and at that point, that's when you want to bring in Icon, you want to bring in Static Shock, you want to bring those characters in and make those characters known, just like they did with Black Panther. Change that. They just said, this is Black Panther. This is who he is. And like you had said earlier, you can't make a white person be, you can't make an Asian guy be Black Panther. It doesn't roll off. Doesn't work the same way. So, but that's
if you're going to do like Jaime Reyes, you're going to change him into, a Caucasian white guy.
Yeah. We had Ted Kord.
We had Ted Kord. Yeah. So you don't need that. I mean, no. Just like, just stick with the story, man.
Introduce new characters. But if you want to have them like they did with Miles Morales, introduce a new character, maybe have the same.
Yes.
Same.
Brand power. New. Exactly.
That's what I would look for. And that's why I think with this James Bond one, I think I'm okay with, because it's a brand new person. It's just, she's just getting the coding, he's retiring, or maybe he dies in this. I don't, we don't know what happens in this to make her take over as 007.
She's got her own lore, and that's the most important. She's got her own lore. You're building it up. Okay, this is the new 007. This is where she came from. Okay, I'm in. It's not lazy. It's brand new. It's something fresh, and I can get behind that. Any new fresh ideas, I'm totally behind.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you're just going to copy and paste, it's just like you said before, it's lazy.
Yeah.
It's lazy, lazy, lazy. We're not thinking. We don't want to do anything. We just want to do this just so we can use the IP, just so we can get it out there, just so we can appease a couple of people. So.
Right, yeah. And that kind of also leads into like one other one that I was talking about, and I thought it was a wasted article. I mean, somebody announced that for the Shang-Chi character, they're like, oh, they're looking for an Asian. Well, of course you are. He's Asian. Why did you need to waste printing time to make that article?
I didn't think you were going to make him in an 80s, an 80-year-old white Caucasian man. I mean,
I had to save that one and link it to the James Bond one, because I was just like, wait, what? No, of course that makes sense. What else would you do?
You're not going to make him anything else. I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
It's just silly, but, we've had this discussion before.
Yes, we have. Yes, yes. What do you have next?
Power Rangers star Darcy Montgomery, who is actually in Stranger Things, and he was great in season 3. If you haven't got a chance, check that out. Says the Power Rangers movie from a couple years ago, I believe it was 2017, is being rebooted.
Yes. Wow.
Which kind of sucks. I actually kind of dug that movie. It had a little bit of the old series vibe along with some new stuff. And I actually like the newer generation, the new kids who played the Power Rangers. Yeah. So to hear that they're going to reboot it again is kind of just, kind of disappointing.
It's Hollywood's getting scared. Oh, my God. It didn't do exactly what we wanted. It didn't break the bank or break any records. It still made some money. It still was fun. The fans liked it, who you made it for. Let it go. Just try again. Try a sequel that you've made the comment. I don't think it's just Warner Brothers. I think it's a lot of movie studios. They still have a very old Hollywood mentality of, nobody liked what I wore, I got to go change. No, try it again. Try it again.
Keep going. Like, get a new writer, get a new director. You can spruce it up. Like, just touch it up a little bit, maybe. But they get into these, oh, wait a minute, I can't do this. Oh, we got to change it all.
Yeah.
you don't have to change at all. Like, it just, that's too much panic, man. I just, that mentality of thinking is what killed the DC movies, a lot of them. I mean, it is, they look at something, oh, it's not going to work. It's not Marvel. Let's change everything. So that's why you have like DC fans like shouting for that Snyder cut, which is a whole different story I'll get into sometime. But Jesus,
there is actually a petition starting right now for them to do it. Now that there's a new head of DC, of Warner Brothers, that there's a petition for it. I just don't think it's going to be as great as everybody wants it to be. It's still not going to be what we wanted to see.
I think the vision let it lie. In their head is better than what the vision that was actually created.
Same thing I say about Star Wars. That's why people just get so mad about it. It's like, you all have a vision. That ain't what's going to show up there.
Yeah, exactly. If you want a vision that you want, then guess what? Why don't you write your own movie? Make your own movie. YouTube it. Make a 10-minute movie on YouTube.
They're doing it out there with Star Wars Theory. I mean, if anybody has not checked out Star Wars Theory on YouTube, he is actually doing a Vader movie, which, you know, we've all wanted. And the acting's a little rough, but you know what? What we're getting in the long run is so much better. And I believe, I didn't get a chance to completely read it, but I think he's actually gotten a contract now to complete it. So that might be something to look forward to.
I hope he does. He's done a good job, especially with the first two episodes. I mean, like you said, the acting is a little wonky.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just a fan who took his own idea, made it, and he's not one of the crybaby Star Wars fans. He's not crying about it. He's saying, you know what? I can make a story, a good adaptation. And that's what he did. He put his money where his mouth is. Yeah, so.
And he wasn't asking for money back, honestly. I read an interview with him where he was saying that, you know, he just wanted to make it, and he had an agreement with Lucasfilms that there was no money to be made. He was just releasing this as a fan film, and he spent a lot of money to do it. So
you could tell. I mean, they're not the most overly expensive things in the world, but to make those little short films, you got to have some dough. You have to have a little bit of dough.
Speaking kind of what you were talking about with WB, it looks like WB is up to their old tricks. Looks like a test screening of Birds of Prey was released, and the crowd loved it. They got a great response, positive. Everybody had fun. The WB executives who sat there and watched it got cold feet, and they apparently were saying, there are things in there they didn't like about it that they didn't want to happen on there. So we're hoping we don't have a Justice League Part 2 situation on our hands.
Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Right now the fans that did get a chance to see it, positive reviews. There's no reviews coming out from the fans, but I guess Margot Robbie had like a group to, you know, go and watch it and did like a little like, you know, sidebar thing and just kind of talked about it. But then, like I said, the executives at WB were on the other side of the fence.
Typical. It's typical them. It's like I always told you about the WB, like those executives. That's old money. And when you're dealing with old money, you deal with old ways and old-fashioned ways. And I hate to say that. It's just, you know, that's that way of thinking. You're like, oh, this is not what we need. You know, we want more. They want bigger. They want better. They don't want story. They don't want, like, character development. And that's one of the things that's always bothered me about the WB higher-uppies. It's like they're the ones who ruin the DC universe. So them and some other idiots who, fortunately, right now are gone, Diane Nelson being one of them. But it's just like, open your minds. Just watch the movie for what it is. Critique it. Maybe a couple things here and there. But knowing them, they're going to be like, you know what? Reshoot the whole thing. It's just a waste of time. And it's just like, we're going to keep taking two steps forward and three steps back with those guys still in charge. It's never going to change unless they change or unless those guys decide they retire or something.
But I don't think it's just them, though. You have to realize that people that are in that kind of position aren't about art. They're about money. They're about
but the Marvel guys are like that too. But they still get both of both worlds.
You got to realize the Marvel guys got a lot more money behind them than WB does.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to realize they got Disney behind them. All right, Disney ain't going anywhere.
Well, WB has their money too. I mean, they're not Disney, but they do have.
Yeah, they ain't got Disney money. I think that's the big difference. I think what they need to do is listen to the fans, because that's who you're writing it for. You're producing it for. You're not producing it for yourself. It's just like anybody that makes a product and they're putting it out there. An artist, yes, artist is going to put it out there and put it out there for themselves. But these guys aren't artists. These guys are money makers. You know, checks and balance, make sure everybody's getting paid and they're getting their cut. They're not artists. There's nothing. There's not a heart attached to it. So I just think they just need to just let it go. Let the fans say yes, this was a good movie. Let's keep going. And it's got an early release next year, so they really don't have much more time to fiddle around
with. I believe it's March or February.
Yeah, it's early release like next year. So
it's really early. They better do something fast. So
what else do you have? Was that your last one?
I have one more. The Mortal Kombat reboot, which is coming out. I believe James Wan is producing this. Is going to get a R rating. So for you Mortal Kombat fans out there, that should bring a nice smile to your face. You get to see the fatalities, heads ripping off, spines being destroyed, bones being cracked, severed heads. Should be good stuff. I can't wait. I don't know if you're a big Mortal Kombat fan, game fan, or movie fan. I mean, the original movie to me is the best movie they made. The subsequent ones were eh. But I can't wait. And the new game that I recently just played was great, by the way. Had the future elements of stuff, the way they can go forward and back in time. They use time travel as an exposition in that movie as well. So I'm going to be fascinated to see where they go with this. If they're going to actually just reboot the whole game, go from the original story, or just, you know, it's going to take place as a sequel. I'm just kind of curious where they're going to go to with this one.
It's a video game movie. I mean, most of them obviously aren't going to be that great. So their best thing is just start fresh, start, you know, kind of take the original lore and just go for it further with it. I mean, obviously you need your certain characters, you know, that's something that's a given, but the storyline can be, you know, kind of whatever it is. Again, I hate to say most video game movies don't really do great. So we'll see what happens.
No, not really. Not really. I mean, what was the last good one we had? Besides the first Mortal Kombat, I can't think.
Honestly?
There was one that came out recently. Not the Assassin's Creed one, because that one had potential.
Yeah, that one.
But the only thing that killed that movie, honestly, is when they went to the present day. That was it. Because if you look at the flashback stuff, Amazing.
Well, it was. But again, that's the game, though. The game is back and forth. It jumps back and forth between present to the past. So you can't.
But I just don't get how you can get the past stuff really good and the present stuff so wonky.
It's just, again, if you're concentrating on one thing, you're going to get a period piece, and that's probably what they wanted. They wanted more period piece producers and set designers and makeup guys. You know, they wanted those to be really good, and then locally, it's a different type of design and different type of art for those guys behind the scenes, I think, and that's probably just where they screwed up. They just went, hey, we just need to make the past look really, really fucking good.
No, I guess that's where they mostly spent all their money on, because if you think about movies like that that go to the Renaissance era or any kind of era, they spent tons. Those movies that cost with those big old costumes, medieval times or colonial times, they cost money. They cost lots and lots of money. People don't even realize that's for costume design, set play, just tons of stuff that people don't even realize. Those movies sometimes cost more than actually special effects movies. So which is kind of wild, but the reboot should be coming out in a couple years, and I think Juan is producing it, or he has his hand in it somehow, so he can add his little horror element to it, you know.
Well, I'm sure if they are going to throw in Scorpion, Reptile, or, you know, any of those characters, yeah, you're going to want that horror element to it.
It's going to be interesting, though. We'll see. It's going to probably come out in 2 years, I'm just guessing, but I can't wait. I'm a big Mortal Kombat fan, so it should be fun. Yeah. What do you got, Mike?
Next one I have actually is Star Wars. The Mandarin. They have announced the budget on each episode.
Got to be over a couple mil.
$15 million per episode.
Oh, so if you equal, how many episodes are they doing this year,
10? They're probably just doing, like, again, your short online, your short streaming, you know, season. I don't think they really announced it, but so probably about 10 to 13.
It's 10 to 13, so you figure...
I am interested. I mean, that's great that they're putting that much money into it. Again, we are talking about the mouse. The mouse has deep pockets.
That's right.
So hopefully, you know, the money will be spent wisely is what I'm hoping.
Well, if you think about it, over a 13-week period, that's almost $200 million, and that's almost the price of a film. So you're going to get more hours with the same amount of money. And a lot more story. So I'm all for it. I mean, The Mandalorian looks like it's going to be fun. Takes place after Jedi. So
yeah, everything I've seen, it looks amazing.
like a Western. I mean, the guy doesn't take off his helmet. I wonder if he will take off his helmet.
I'm sure he probably will. It's just, you know, that's something you want to wait for. You don't want that to be during your trailers. You want that to wait.
Exactly. I kept thinking of the Judge Dredd movie. I don't know. That's why. Oh. the very underrated Carl Urban Judge Dredd.
Oh, movie. Dude, I love that movie. I thought that one was fun.
And he never took off his helmet, unlike the Sly Stallone one, where he took off his helmet like, you know, 5 minutes in. So
yeah, and then just kept it off. Like, no, put it back on.
Just kept it off. Yeah, no, I don't need to put it back on.
Judge Dredd doesn't have eyes. We don't see that.
Yeah. All of a sudden, Judge Dredd has a face. Like, holy crap! The comic book was a lie. He looks like Sly Stallone.
So for you horror movie fans out there, it was announced just a few days ago that they will be redoing A Nightmare on Elm Street. And really? They're looking at the director from Crawl, the new Florida Man movie, is how I've been describing it. The
story about the Panhandle or the Everglades.
Yeah, like I said, it's the Florida Man movie. You know, great, another reason to pick on Florida. Going, oh, they got the swamps and alligators, and so. But they're looking at the director Alejandro Aja, I think Aja, is how you pronounce last name. So. I'll be interested. Yeah. Again, this is another one of those Hollywoods screwing things up and not going through with it. They rebooted it 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I think it was. And
I didn't like it.
I liked it. Yeah, I thought it was good. It's a horror movie. It's a cheesy 80s horror movie. I don't know what more anybody wanted. It was suspenseful. Well, I liked the actor that played
it. They were trying to make it like, yeah, but thing about Nightmare on Elm Street is that series is so iconic with one guy. It's tough to do it with a newer guy, especially when I think they had released. How long ago was Freddy vs. Jason before that movie?
Oh, God.
Was it years or like 5 years?
No, it's been all close to 5 years, I think, since. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I understand the iconic character. I completely get that. But at the same time, we're dealing with a mythical, you know, character, basically. So just. You know, I don't know. I just think it was kind of a. Again, it's just to me, it was just Hollywood not following through with what they were trying to do. Yeah, and again, I did like the actor. He's the same actor that played Rorschach. Yeah. So I thought he did a great job. You know, but just because you trip doesn't mean you just scrap the whole thing and start fresh again. I just, you know, I just could imagine them with their kids. Oh, he got an F. Kill him. Get rid of them. Get a new one.
Get rid of them. Let's get another one. Like, come on, man. You got to work with the kid. That's what you got to do. You got to work with the movies. Like, come on. Let's blend it. Fix it. You know, tinker.
Since we were talking about the 80s, the last one we have, the first onset for the 2020 Ghostbusters release.
I saw the picture online.
Yes, yes. So apparently the storyline is set in a small town. They did announce Paul Rudd was going to be playing one of the characters, and basically the characters are going to be, like I said, taking place in a small town. It's going to be based around a family, but they are somehow attached or connected to the original Ghostbusters. So they haven't really delved too much into it. It is being done by Jason Reitman, Ivan Reitman's son. They do have some folks that you have, McKenna Grace, who's from Captain Marvel, Finn Wolfhard, who's from Stranger Things, Carrie Coon, Avengers, Infinity Wars, and then, of course, like I said, Paul Rudd is coming in as well. And, yeah, basically they're saying it's going to be kind of it's a new movie about a new set of characters. It takes place in a new place, a new location, obviously. Yeah, they were it was talking about that it was just, you know, envisioning something a little different. I honestly think when I started reading about this, what first went to my head was, if you remember the original Ghostbusters, when they had to get the money for the building, Ray took a mortgage out on his house. And I wonder if that's the house. I just wonder if that's the mortgage on the house. That's the house. Maybe they defaulted on the mortgage, and
That would be a perfect way to connect it.
Yeah, I mean, he never said where he was from. He just said, I grew up in that house. I mean, my grandfather, I think, built that house or something like that. So, I think that'd be kind of fun. And
nice way to connect the whole series too.
And again, I know I'm probably sounding like a hypocrite when I say this, but yeah, this is a reboot that needed to happen. Because, I, you know, here we are yelling about Hollywood not following through, pulling their punches. Yes, they had a Ghostbusters that came out a few years back, the all female cast. And unfortunately, if they would have, I think, connected themselves more with the original cast and the original story.
That was the thing, I think, that killed that movie.
Yeah, because you had the actors there just doing, like, cute little cameos. I'm like, no, connect it. If you're going to go back to the same building, you're going to have that same style, connect it somehow, and they just let that go. Sometimes you have to connect and reconnect to your legacy.
Yeah, and I get what they were trying to do. Is they wanted to distance themselves a little bit, and I get it. But it's almost like, you know, when The Force Awakens came out, right? It's a new thing, new universe, new characters, right? But they still had the connections to the old series.
Exactly, yeah.
And they connected it seamlessly. And you could have done the same thing with this one, but I guess they didn't want to do it that way. You know, I don't want to sit here and say all about girl power, but, you know, they just wanted to do their own thing. And the movie bombed because, you know, nobody cared.
Yeah.
You know, they just did, they basically did a lot of beats from the original, which was kind of crazy. So,
yeah. And a lot of it, like, I heard a lot of backlash from the actresses that they're like, oh, it's because we were all women cast. And I was like, no. Everybody I heard about wasn't because it was an all woman cast. I know my rant wasn't about it. My rant was about them not, again, like we just said, not following into the legacy, not just stealing it and not acknowledging it, other than those little cute little cameos, which didn't need.
Exactly.
You go mess with an iconic movie for you, me, for a rather large generation who are in a certain area of power, so to speak, when it comes to buying power right now. Don't piss us off.
Yeah, exactly. Don't slap us in the face and say, hey, guess what? This is the Ghostbusters. And you're like, no, it's not.
No, you didn't even come close. Sorry. Next try.
It's like I always compare it to, like, you know, what I was talking to you before, actually a couple of days to you about, the Ghostbusters and the real Ghostbusters.
Right.
If you remember that animated series, they released the Ghostbusters first, which was a blatant ripoff of the Ghostbusters movie. I mean, it was clearly. And then I guess about a year later, I guess they got tired and, like, you know, forget this. We're going to make our TV show. And it was the real Ghostbusters
right. got released.
And the other show got canceled. And that was the end of that. So it's just like, you know, if you're going to try to give us, like, a Acme copy, give us the real thing.
Exactly.
Don't give us a phony. We're going
to
know.
Although I will have to admit, I was one of those ones that enjoyed the original Ghostbusters. Not the real Ghostbusters, but the one with the monkey. I did enjoy that one.
Yeah, that was kind of
fun. It was just fun. Yeah, I was like, okay, it's not really the Ghostbusters, but this is kind of a goofy thing, you know?
Well, they had a catchy theme song.
I mean, it wasn't like they were like, literally, like, put these characters into the Ghostbusters world. They had their own little own world and had nothing to do with Ghostbusters, you know, at all.
No, nothing. If you get a chance to watch our series, I believe it's on YouTube. There's some episodes up there. So,
yeah, they are fun. So that is the last that I have, I believe, on my news. Did you drum up anything more today?
No, that's all I got.
Nope. All right, then we are exiting the admissions ward. Yeah.
Sorry.
All right, folks. So here we are. I guess we would call this pre-SDCC, pre-San Diego Comic-Con.
It's our pre-show. It's our big pre-show because it's basically the Geek Super Bowl, as I call it every year. We are getting wound up and ready for the stuff that's going to be released over the next year, TV series and movie and animation and whatever else you could think of.
I guess this would be our Christmas Eve for the geekdom.
Yes,
in a way. So we're all gathered around. We got our hot cocoa. We're thinking, goodness, what's Santa going to bring us? What's Uncle Bob Iger going to drop off through the chimney this year for us?
Sure, Bob has a lot of good stuff.
Oh, I bet you Bob does. So I kind of left it up to you to kind of. I did a little diving, but I couldn't find much. But you said you found it quite a bit. So
I found quite a bit. I mean, there's actually a lot, and there's no way in hell we can cover every single thing. We'd be here probably till midnight the next day. So what I got is I got a couple things, a couple panels that we'll be discussing. And the first one I will be discussing is going to be on Wednesday, the first day at Comic-Con, woohoo, July 17th, from 6 to 10 p.m. I don't like including the times, but it's on there anyway. We're going to have the Batwoman and Pennyworth world premiere sneak preview screenings.
Nice.
So, Batwoman. What do you think, Mike? Any thoughts on Batwoman coming?
I like that they're bringing Batwoman in. I've always liked her character. She was always a strong, again, this is one of those conversations we've had and drummed up a bit. I mean, this is a hot topic in our culture right now is this, but she is one of those strong, independent, original women. Other than the fact, yes, she is part of the Bat family. She's taking a Bat pseudonym name, so to speak, but the character herself is very, very original. So I'm happy to see them going delving more into that, because it's something I've always wanted to see. My only downside of that is it's too blatantly like angry.
Yep.
Like I get anger and I get you know that she doesn't want to be labeled as a Batman. Completely get that, but Cassandra Cain was not that way. They're putting a political spin, a sociological spin on this character that does not need to be there, because she is already a strong enough and an independent enough woman to just write her story the way it is and not put this anti-male bashing thing going on right now. And I just, that's where I disagree. And a lot of people and surprisingly, the women I've asked about this, because I've really been, I'm thinking, am I just being a dude and just like, hey, you know, you're screwing around I've actually asked a lot of women about it, and they're like, no, she's the bitch. No, that's, so I feel justified in my opinion right now.
I think you should be justified in your opinion, because I think everything we've seen in the trailers is her basically crapping on Batman, saying, oh, I can do it better than he can. And then I'm thinking, like, wait a minute. You haven't even laced up a suit. You haven't done any crime fighting like he has. I mean, we don't have the explanation of why Batman left the city. I think that's going to come into series eventually.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, it'll be that one of those overarching, like, you know,
yeah,
we'll eventually get nuggets. But
it's like you just said before, Cassandra Cain, she's got a strong story. She's a strong character. Yeah. You don't need to crap on Batman just to be like, hey, you know what? I'm better than you because I'm a girl. And that's basically what they've been showing us in the trailers, like just making her out to be a real bitch. And it's just like, she's not that way at all. And just like, it's, of course, it's going to turn people off. It turned me off. I mean, yeah, like I said, hopefully I'm thinking that maybe they just did it just to get maybe some attention, and as the series goes along, eventually she's going to become her own character. But from what I've seen in the trailers, I mean, people are right to be justified and pissed off. I would be too.
Yeah, so that's, you know, just, but well, like I said, like you just said, definitely wait and see. You know, maybe this is just to get a rise and get some news coverage, get some social media, you know, attention.
Yeah,
maybe she'll pan out and be the character that we saw. Because again, if anybody's never, you know, if anybody's ever read Batwoman, she's got a pretty messed up storyline to begin with. And so, and pretty, you know,
oh yeah. Especially stuff with her sister too.
Yeah. So there's a lot of baggage that goes along with this character already. And to just to have that character, that persona coming out like that, it's just isn't her. So
yeah, just hopefully it'll change, but we'll see. We also got Pennyworth, which is a limited 10 episode series, limited, so I think it's going to be a one and done. The story of Alfred Pennyworth. I saw the trailer, and if it's a one and done, then I'm fine with it. It looks good.
Yeah.
It looks like, especially what I thought Alfred would be doing, you know, spy, you know, helping out here and there, Secret Service, British Secrets, you know, just like very James Bond-ish, or very Kingsman-ish too, because he's wearing a suit and stuff like that. So, you know, I saw it. Looks good. You know, it's gonna be one and done, and it'll be fun.
Very cool. Yeah, that's something. Yeah, I agree. And originally, I didn't know about it. It was just a short run. Now that I know, I'm happier about that, because I was like, man, he doesn't have a large story backstory. You know, his story in his life is more with Bruce, not so much his backstory, because a lot of it was kept secret. And honestly, I don't think there was that much of, if I'm trying to remember back, there wasn't much of his military background, I think, until Batman Begins.
There was actually a comic book, Batman Year, not Year One. I'm trying to think what it is. It was a Superman book that you recently bought, and it was like a different, like Batman Earth 5. I forgot what it was, but it was a hardcover book, and basically kind of gives us a hint of the background of Alfred, of what he was and how he met Thomas and, you know, what he was, how they met in the war. It was a different story, but it was, I forgot the name of the book. Yeah. It's a Batman
but
book.
There's always been that story that he followed in his father's footsteps because his father watched over the Waynes. So that was always the main storyline I always remembered. And then when his father passed, that he came in. And so, but I thought it wasn't until the Nolan one where they really hinted at about, you know, about him actually getting out there. Because there was that one scene, I think it was during with the Joker, where when he made that classic line, you know, just some people want to watch the world burn, because he talked about being in Burma, I think it was.
Burma, yeah, that he was like hunting down some kind of diamond.
Yeah, he was talking about some psycho. And that was the only time I remember anybody really truly hinting, other than like some of these Elseworld ones, that he was something more than just the butler. It's somebody that just was smart about, you know, about everything.
Yeah, and even in the version they had of him on Gotham was pretty interesting. You know, he basically taught Bruce how to fight. Definitely that father figure. Yeah. So his origins and his, you know, incarnations have definitely changed over the years. But it, as a whole, he's still the same. He's Alfred. He's going to be that father figure. So doing a 10-episode limited run, I guess it's going to be on Stars or something. I'm totally fine with it.
You know, that throws me off Stars, huh?
Yeah, well, Stars had some interesting series. So
I just for them to break away to not go on the streaming service or to not go the CW route. You know, that's just kind of
it's going to be a one and done. So it's just, you know,
that's still good. That's fine. I'm a big fan of those ones that now, you know what, we only want to do a season or two. This is a story we're telling. Then we're out. We're done. Peace out.
I've always liked it. Because they know what they are. You're like, hey, we don't have that much story to tell. We can't stretch it upon 15 seasons. Yeah. And then, you know, let's just get it done and say bye.
Yep. So. Very good. Okay.
Wednesday. We're still working on Wednesday. Warner Brothers and New Line have what's called Scare Diego 2019. So yes. I believe, Scare Diego. Good stuff. So I believe this is where they're going to introduce a lot of the It Chapter 2. It Chapter 2, I loved the first It, by the way. Thought it was creepy and scary as hell. So, and I saw the trailer for the second one. Looks like it's going to be equally as scary, especially that trailer I saw.
Yes. The trailer was great.
And that's funny, because when you can release a trailer without releasing the Pennywise clown and it still gets you creeped out, I'm looking forward to part 2.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mike?
Oh, no, I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad they always have. San Diego always ends up having their horror section, and I'm glad it's going to be It. I think last year was Castle Rock. If you never got a chance to watch Castle Rock, really good.
I did. I watched 5 episodes. It was very deep.
It's deep. It's very slow prodding, but it is definitely a horror element, and I'm glad that, you know, they went like hard horror for this one. Because, that was the only thing I'd heard DC Warner Brothers was going to be doing. I'm sure you'll let us know later on, but I believe they opened up some more. But really, the only one I had heard for San Diego this year was going to be the Scare Diego, or whatever they were calling it, with It. So I'm glad to hear that they're doing that. And it is a great story. If nobody's ever read it or watched any of them, you definitely check them out. This is coming from a fan of somebody that hasn't been, you know, in the horror realm that much, but the actor that does this is really good.
Alexander Skarsgård. Yeah,
very good. I think he was also in, wasn't he in the True Blood series? I believe.
There's a lot of Skarsgårds around there. You're thinking about his brother.
Oh, is that okay?
Yeah, his brother. He did Alexander did a series on Netflix, which I cannot put my finger on right now. It was on Netflix for like 3 seasons, and he played play a vampire of some sorts on this series, and he was fighting a werewolf. I forgot the name of it. I know Famke Janssen was in it.
Yeah, that was True Blood.
No, it was a different one. Totally different one. Wasn't True Blood. I am dead serious. I could look it up right now.
Oh, Alexander Skarsgård.
Yeah.
Let me see.
It's, trust me, it's...
Oh, no, wait.
You look it up, because...
No, I'm looking him up right now. But, you know, Alexander was on True Blood. And, yeah, he's not on It, so... Come on.
The series on Netflix. And I cannot find it.
But no, Alexander is the one that was on True Blood. So
yeah, so like I said, there's a lot of Skarsgårds going around there. So his dad.
Bill. You know. Bill Skarsgård is who's actually on it, not Alexander.
Yep.
And Bill was on... No, he was actually he was a Castle Rock. Castle Rock. Okay. Yeah, he was Castle Rock. Oh, he was Zeitgeist in Deadpool.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, that's who he played. And Atomic Blonde. He was also on there. So yeah, no, that's Bill. Alexander, Alexander is the True Blood folk or actor who played the one of the big the king of New Orleans, if I remember correctly.
I think he was, yeah.
Then his brother
Bill. Hemlock Grove is the series, one? I think. Oh, yeah, okay. That's Hemlock. Yeah, that was a series that he was on. Okay. It was a vampire / werewolf / gypsy / all crazy stuff.
Oh, that's funny though. Yeah, he was on Castle Rock. He was the kid in Castle Rock too. So he's showing up in 2 years in a row for the scary side of San Diego. That's funny.
Go figure, man. That's crazy stuff right there. So yeah, I guess they're going to be doing a chapter 2 and some other news negatives they might drop there, but it chapter 2 is what I'm looking forward the most, coming out in October, I believe. So there you have that. Well, next one we have is Thursday, July 18th, and they will be introducing the Terminator Dark Fate panel. I saw the trailer for Dark Fate, and I don't know how you feel about this, Mike, but I'll give my opinion real quick. I didn't like it. I like that they brought back, you know, some of the older ones. You know, they brought back Linda Hamilton. They brought back Arnold. That's cool. But to me, what's missing in this Terminator series since part two, to be honest with you, is that horror element. Like we just said before, if you remember, recall the first Terminator movie, it wasn't really, it was sci-fi horror.
Yeah,
that's what it was. It was basically, it was enclosed. You're being hunted by this one dude. Even the second one kind of like kept that, even though, you know, special effects.
Second much one, I think, was more sci-fi than horror. I think the first one was more suspense because it wasn't.
And then after that, they just gone for the big explosions and everything big. And Terminator is one of those stories that I've always felt. And it's like we've agreed upon many times. Is one of those things that's best not explained. When they talk about the war with John Connor and the Terminators and humanity, it was one of those things that was always mentioned in the background, but you never saw. You're like, oh, how was that war? How did John get through it? He sent this Terminator back. He sent this dude back who eventually became his dad. And you knew about that stuff in the background. And you didn't know about the war. Like, what happened? And the later Terminator movies, they tried to explain what was going on. And I felt that's where it lost a lot of stuff. And then basically all it became was a big CGI fest.
Yeah.
And that's where I felt it lost me. And like the last Terminator movie, like Terminator Jenny Smith, which I call it, was ridiculous. Then you have John Connor, who is the hero of the resistance, and you turn him bad. And all of a sudden I was like, okay, this series has derailed. And then it had a horrible post-credit scene and tons of other mess. But Mike, what do you think?
I'm still kind of on the fence about it. We don't see John in here, so that makes me wonder what happened. This is Hollywood pushing the heavy female cast. So I'm not exactly sure what the storyline is, or just from the simple little blip we saw. I just need more story. Seeing what I saw just doesn't give me enough. Again, great to see Linda back. Great to see Arnold back. Interested. I rewatched the trailer, actually. I think it was at the beginning of Spider-Man, when we went and saw Spider-Man. Rewatching the trailer, I had missed the whole idea that this was like the Terminator was actually a blend of both the original and T2. It was like this. It was the liquid Terminator on top of a metal skeleton kind of thing. So it was literally two Terminators in one. I missed that. And I thought it was kind of a cool idea of.
Yeah, but the thing about it is I've seen this before. That's the thing. The only thing you're doing is you're just basically taking stuff that you've already done and adding another Terminator.
Well, it is, it's kind of a mixture. So I like that idea that it was a little twist. It wasn't the liquid one all by itself. It wasn't the one, just a robot one going after him, which we've seen before. But it was kind of a blending of two. That I thought was a kind of the cooler side of it. But again, just until I find more about or hear more about the story, it was okay. I'm not rushing out to go see it that night, just to tell you. That's all I'm gonna say. It's not a Thursday night watch.
No, definitely not. It's definitely, for me, the way it looks, it's going to be a straight to DVD rental or me bootlegging it somehow, because I'm not going to go out of theaters and watch it and be disappointed again.
And that is Thanatos Kane at heroesasylum.com.
Yeah, just letting you guys know. Next we have on Thursday,
I'm going to get that and put a recording of it and just push it on my hot button.
I'm sure the haters are going to come. They always do. And weeps in droves. And actually, some of them go to the Winchester. Anyway, Fat Man Beyond, the 20th anniversary is going to be in Hall H this year. 20 years, Mike. 20 years since Batman Beyond.
I thought you said Fat Man for a second. Sorry, I was waiting for you to repeat Batman. I thought Kevin Smith was doing a 20-year thing. So it is Batman.
He might.
I know. I thought you said Fat Man. Sorry, that's keep going.
Well, Fat Man Beyond. It was actually Batman Beyond. But if you want to go Fat Man Beyond, we can talk about
Kevin thought that's Smith what you mentioned. Said. I thought that's what I heard for a second. It's like, oh, okay, sweet.
Anyway, 20 years of Batman Beyond. What do you think, Mike?
20 years. I mean, it gets old. That's great. I'm at that point now where most, you know, anniversaries of movies and things like that, I'm like, okay, yes, it happened back then. And so I mean, we just hit 35 years for the last Starfighter. Was probably a little bit more excited about that than Batman.
35 years.
Yeah, I know.
There's a movie dying for a reboot right there.
Yes, that would be one I would kind of be okay with. Just to update the special effects, I think would be amazing.
Well, they basically have done that movie. Actually, it's a series on Hulu. So
yeah, it was a pretty good one. That's basically what it was. Yeah,
basically,
in a way.
So. Anyway, it's a 20-year anniversary of Batman Beyond. Hopefully, they'll announce another animated movie. That'd be kind of cool. But I don't think that's going to happen. But
Never know with WB and DC. I mean, they're still pumping out at least 2 to 3 movies a year for the animated side of DC. You know, in their movies.
But that's the one they haven't even touched yet, which is kind of crazy. They've done tons of animated movies. They're adapting a lot of the famous Batman runs, which is actually really cool. But they haven't done anything on Batman Beyond, which makes me think if they're going to drop and say, hey, guess what? We're going to do a Batman animated movie. I'm like, ooh, okay. I mean, it's been long overdue, because I think the last one they did was the Return of the Joker, and that was... It's been a while now.
It has been. I think there was another movie too, also a straight to DVD movie. But honestly, if you're dying for your Batman Beyond, the comic book world is where you're going to get it. They have grown that world. There were two runs going on. One that was very similar to the and stuck true to the animated TV show, but there was another run that they actually introduced him into the true continuity of DC. That he is from the future, and but he's still in the future, kind of very similar to how Spider-Man 2099 was. You know, he's in the continuity, but he's in the future.
But I remember then a couple runs they sort of ruined him. That like in one version he's Terry, and then another version he's actually one of the Robins. I believe he's Tim Drake.
Yeah, he ended up being Tim.
He becomes Batman. So it's just like
that was one of the original runs. No, the newer run, Batman 2.0. Read it. I've been trying to catch up on it slowly. It's done very well. So if you are on a Terry fix, that's the place you're going to want to go.
Next we got is another panel, which will be taking place towards later in the afternoon, is the Teen Titans Go versus Teen Titans movie, which I think this is going to be a lot of fun. The trailer looked a lot of fun to me. I mean, they teased it at the end of Teen Titans Go, the movie, if you actually saw it. Joy, excitement. I can't wait. It looks fun. I mean, the trailer looked fun, and I think the movie is going to be even more fun.
Yeah, it looks fun. I mean, the movie, the trailer that I saw looked amazing. I hope the Teen Titans Go get their asses whipped. Just put my money on there. If I have to, I'll go to Vegas for it.
not a fan of Go.
No, not at all. Booyah. Nope, not a fan.
I did like their movie, though. That was kind of fun.
The movie was fun because they poked fun at itself. That's the weird reason I'm like, I'll go with it. I'll go to another one with them in there, because that movie is just like, we're just going to make fun of ourselves and comic books in general. And so, yeah, I was good with that.
Okay, next we have is... a personal one of mine. I don't think you've watched this series yet, Mike. Maybe you have. Cobra Kai, past, present, and future.
Yes.
Panel on that. So I've seen all 2 seasons of Cobra Kai. If you haven't, then you've been missing out. If you think the Karate Kids, the first two movies were great, you should watch this series. Basically, these three guys who believe that the Karate Kid is their Star Wars, and they put a lot of love and attention to this series that it is their Star Wars. A lot of little hints, all the characters that you could think of. I mean, just the nice little perfect nods they don't do in this series. It's basically almost 30 minutes on YouTube. YouTube Red, I think you have to buy a subscription to it.
Yes, you do, yeah.
There's other ways around it. Anyway, just saying, it's season one was good. I thought season two was... It was good, but not as good as season one. It had a lot of things that kind of bugged me.
Oh, I love the way season two ended, man.
Did you?
Just the cliffhanger there. Yeah, that's...
Well, the cliffhanger was fine. It's just like... My only question is, those kids learn karate way too fast.
Well, we got, you know... I mean, so did Daniel. Like, I mean, so that's kind of...
I don't know. But they were, like, doing backflips and just, like, doing these ridiculous things, like... I don't know. To me, it just took a little bit away from it. Like, okay, you guys know karate that fast? And, like, you're doing these spinning heel kicks and flips. And, like, everybody knows. Even that wimpy kid who got teased throughout the whole season knew karate very well at the end of it. Just, I liked it. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I love the cliffhanger, the way it ended. I think season three is going to be even better, especially the way it ended. And if you haven't seen it, I'm not going to give any more spoilers, but a major character could be returning in season three, Mike. Maybe
there have been some hints. Yes, there have been a few hints, and also some rumors that that person would not come back. But there are those hints out there. I have watched the show. Big shout out to my brother AJ. He is a head admin on a Facebook page, Cobra Kai Dojo. Get out there and check that page out, guys, because that is all they talk about is Cobra Kai. They live and breathe Cobra Kai on that Facebook page. But yeah, that's I am looking forward to seeing what the third one does, and I hopefully would ask because these guys are having so much fun. I mean, imagine making a movie 30 years ago now, and then getting to do this again with those guys and having fun while doing it. And Billy Zabka and Ralph Macchio were actually friends outside. So now they're working together with their buddy every day. So yeah, I think it's just imagine, you know, the a bad cheesy 80s movie that we all loved, and yeah, you know, we're gonna make a TV show out of it. You know, do a Buckaroo Banzai TV show, or, you know, something along those lines. It's basically kind of what they did. Like you said, it was just three fans that, like, hey, we want to make a TV show, and it took off. I mean, does anybody else know of anything on YouTube Red that's out?
I think there's some sort of cowboy series.
There's again, nobody knows. So this is
I really don't know.
This is the only thing that really that this probably is a big moneymaker for YouTube Red is this series.
Well, it's the only reason I would subscribe to it and then cancel my subscription. And then when it comes back, I'll re-up.
A lot of times you got just check it out. YouTube does a free 30-day thing, right, for YouTube Red. Check it out. You can burn through those. They're only 30 minutes, only 10 episodes, I think. So yeah, you can burn through those pretty quick. So
yeah, so they're doing it the cheap. I want them to bring Terry Silver back. That's my goal for season three. Mr. Wah himself. I want him to come back and him to, like, you know, he's going to be the guy that's going to buy the Cobra Kai Dojo with Sensei Kreese. And, you know, my goal is for Daniel and Billy to just start, you know, basically do their own dojo stuff and fight those two. That's my hopes. I don't think it's going to happen. And then maybe the end of season three, Chono shows up from the end of Karate Kid 2. You just bring everybody back. But, you know. So anyway, I'm going to move
forward. Don't forget about the next Karate Kid and Karate Kid 3. So
yeah, and that is, according to the writers, that is canon. So
because you do have to realize, you know, one of the producers of the show is Will Smith. So, you know, there is a chance that Jaden might show up, just, you know, to get his paycheck for one day. Let's work. No. Sorry, Cobra Kai Dojo guys. That was a bad joke.
Bad joke around the dojo. You're gonna get kicked out for that.
Yeah, no, it's
that's Michael Jones at HeroesAsylum.
Oh, don't you worry. No, they know who I am. They can find me. They've actually got my address. So
that's frightening. I wouldn't want that.
Yeah. So. But yeah, that's the bad joke on that one, guys. So, but no. But it would be interesting. I mean, it originally, apparently, this did start off as something that they were trying to, like, so Will Smith wanted to do a TV show, and I guess these guys, like, kind of like beat him to the punch. So he, I think he owned the rights to it. That he, that's how he kind of jumped in as a producer or executive producer or something along those lines.
That's good. As long as you just put Jaden in it, we're fine. Yeah, let Jaden wear his white bat suit and be left off to his own devices.
Jaden's got to prep himself for a Static Shock next year coming out.
Don't even. Don't. I've seen that rumor online and actually some fan work, and I'm like, please no.
He would just work. No. That's what I'm telling you. I think it would work too, but I don't want to see it. But
you know what it is? I'm frightened that is going to happen. That's the scary part. It's just not like a thing that's not going to happen. Will Smith pops, you know, he's got power in Hollywood, so he could put him in there. So I wouldn't doubt it. His dad is Deadshot, so anywho, we're gonna move towards Friday. And we got basically a panel with the Avengers writers, Marcus and McFeely, along with the Russo brothers.
Nice.
So I think they're gonna have the reflection on the epicness of the last two Avengers movies, to me, the best part of this is not the Russos themselves, which they give great interviews and great insight, and they're big sweaties as well, but it's Marcus and McFeely, the writers.
Right.
Because those guys have to dive through comic issues. Mm-hmm. They have to take it. They have to adapt it. They have to put it on a screenplay. And for them, taking all that lore and putting it into, you know, basically these two gigantic movies was combined have almost made $5 billion.
Yeah.
Think about that. $5 billion in two movies. That's insanity. Some studios don't even make $5 billion over a five-year period. This studio's made it in 2 years. Yeah. So those guys' paychecks must be nice.
And just two movies, too. Not just 2 years, but just two movies. I've seen studios do it over 2 years, but they've had like a bunch of different movies.
And just to hear them talk about, you know, the way the process, you know, putting it all on paper and all that stuff they had to gather, yeah, to me, it's fascinating. Like, I like hearing the Russo brothers. They're great. But to me, the writers have always been the more interesting ones.
Yeah,
They're the ones that got to go work with the Russos and say, hey, what if we take this and put this here? What if we put this guy here and that guy there? That to me is going to be a fascinating panel.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And honestly, I would what I hope, and if I don't know if they'll do it, but kind of do a farewell to the legacy guys, too. You know, with basically, you know, Cap and Tony gone, to have a, you know, kind of a farewell panel, so to speak.
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of going to be like their swan song, probably what they're going to be up to after this, because those guys now have the clout to do a lot of stuff. So, you know, the Roosters are not going to, you know, die out and just sit back on paychecks and their couches and beer nuts and watching TV and football. They're going to be doing some stuff. So, they had a series which was canceled by Sci-Fi, which really sucks, was Deadly Class. And I thought Deadly Class was really good, but I'm sure they're going to gear up and, you know, launch some more series out there. Russos are going to be around for a while. So.
Oh, yeah, no. What I was saying goodbye to the actors, not the Russo brothers. No, they're not going anywhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, anyway. No directors can sit behind the chair, you know, behind that camera for a very, very long time. No, I was saying that it would be good to have, when I say the legacy, but to have say goodbye to Robert Downey Jr. Say goodbye to those characters that we know we're probably never going to see again, and, you know, because they really did do that.
I have a prediction.
You have a prediction, but right now
right now it's not going to happen. I agree. Not for the next foreseeable future, but I'm thinking in the foreseeable. Actually, you know, I'll wait till we get to the Marvel panel and not complete my predictions. Next panel after that is If Anybody Cares, but I had to put it on here because maybe we have some of their fans. I don't. I dropped off after season 5. Is the Fear the Walking Dead panel. Mike, any thoughts?
Oh, no, not really. I lost Walking Dead. I just they broke too much out of the continuity of the original story.
Agreed, especially after season 5 for me. I quit. Like, when Negan got introduced, I thought he was great. Oh, they're going to spice up the series. And they did for a little while, but then they just kept Negan dragging on and on and on. And the series dragged. And then somebody told me to watch last season, how good it was. And I saw a couple episodes, and it was like... And then Fear the Walking Dead, which is this panel, is almost like the same thing. It's just on and on and feelings and hey, I'm going through this and look, I got a cut, maybe I might be bitten, and we have to deal with that for 3 episodes. To me, the series when it first began was great, but now to me it just drags. Any thoughts?
Not really. No, like I said, I watched The Walking Dead, I think the first 2 seasons, and then I dropped after that when they did the the fear of The Walking Dead. I was like, okay, a prequel of a show I'm not really that interested in. Okay, so I never even bothered.
Okay, me too. I was, because those panels are kind of back to back. Anyway, at 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock is a series that I've just started watching. I don't know if you started watching it, Mike, or you've been watching. Is Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty I started watching recently, and I gotta say, this show's right up my alley. It's batshit crazy.
Yeah.
But an alcoholic, a kid, time traveling, weirdness, lots of pop culture references. They're having their own, that's gotta be one of the funnest panels to be going on Comic-Con, to be honest. I mean,
yeah, it should be. Yeah. With, you know, the voice actors with that group, yeah, would, because I'm just the side stories of what they can tell, not, you know, not nothing to do with the show, but just what they can tell of just their history and being behind the microphone.
Agreed. Agreed. Should be fun. The next panel is 2:15 to 3:15 is going to be Henry Cavill and The Witcher.
Looking forward to that.
That's one. Oh yeah. I mean, have you ever played the game? It's a long ass game. Really long, by the way. Those are 2 weeks of my life I'll never be able to get back. But anyway, it's a good game. Should be fun. Should be interesting. Hopefully they'll keep to the lore of the game and add their own spin. You know, you don't have to do exactly like the game. That would be wrong. But they're a nice little spin, and nice to see Henry Cavill getting some work since, you know, they don't want to put him back in that red cape anymore, which kind of pisses me off. But I think he's going to nail it with this Witcher series. It looks fun. It looks good. It looks very Lord of the Rings type. I'm looking forward to it. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, just to hear what he's got to say. I mean, because he doesn't go off and do, you know, he hasn't done a panel in a while. So, yeah, it'll be nice to hear what he has to say, you know, what he's been doing. You know, other yes, than the last one was the Mission Impossible movie.
Which he was good in, by the way. I actually liked him in that movie.
Yeah, he did a good job on that one.
Nice mustache.
Oh, yeah.
Another panel we have of interest to me and Mike is 3:15. Actually, it's almost a two-hour panel. It's the Dark Crystal Age of Resistance, which is coming to Netflix. And the most exciting thing about this series to me is when they said, say it with me, no CGI. Complete puppets. Jump for joy. I think I put it on my Facebook page the other day.
Yeah, I think you did. I think I saw something about that.
Yes. 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 And the voice actor talents they got on there. They got Mark Hamill. They got the Skeksis coming back, who scared me to death as a little kid. It is the prequel to The Dark Crystal, by the way. Not a sequel. It is a prequel. And I believe it is 8 or 10 episodes. My joy and excitement is through the roof. What is yours?
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. I'm really looking forward to this. I remember hearing about this, God, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I think, when they first started, like, you know, kicking around the rumor bill and getting it in production and everything. So yeah, I'm stoked for it. I mean, it's a Henson production. We don't see anything from Henson anymore. So I'm looking forward to it.
Kind of sad we don't see stuff from Henson anymore. Anyway.
Well, it's because we're in the technology age and nobody wants to see puppets.
You still have you could still use that technology. I mean, even The Force Awakens, they use CG, but they still use like that puppeteering. I always felt when you had that puppeteering stuff, kind of adds something. Like in The Empire Strikes Back, when Yoda was basically a puppet. If he doesn't work in that movie fails. He's basically Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah,
but it's because you believed in what Yoda was doing and saying. His movements were very subtle. It's just, it works. And I think there's still a place for it in this world today, especially in filmmaking. And hopefully they can keep that technology alive. I don't want to see it, you know, die all the way.
Very true. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So our next one, or the last one of Friday, is the final panel is for Preacher, which is the upcoming season. I believe it's season 4 will be the final season.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Which kind of sucks. I love the first two seasons. I actually like the last season too, but I think this series is guilty of one of the things that has happened in many series over and over again, especially on streaming or on cable television. It kind of deviers from the comic and goes its own way. And then you know what's going on. I think that's what happened with Preacher, and especially season 3. They kind of made their own little left turn, you know, leaves in a cliffhanger. If you haven't seen the ending of season 3, then guess what? It's been a year old. You should have watched it already. Yeah. So, well, it's been a long time. So basically, Jesse gets the power of the voice back, kills a lot of people. Jesse and Tulip are now headed over to save their friend, who is now being held by the guard. I believe, I forgot the name of the, I guess it's the White Guard or something. I forgot their names. Any of the listeners, please correct me. I don't have it in front of me. But that's going to be the beginning and the ending of season four. Mike, you a fan of Preacher?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I have not, unfortunately, and I'm one of those ones. I just so much TV, I haven't been able to finish last season's. But so far, I mean, everything I like about it, and I didn't expect it to stay true to the comic book for so much, because I mean, Preacher is pretty effed up to begin with. So I figured there was going to be some, you know, detouring away and changing a bit. So I'm not too surprised to hear that.
That's unfortunate.
There are certain things you can and can't do on TV. That's you got rules.
That's true. But, you know, they did some things right and some things make you scratch your head on. Anyway, we're going to go to Saturday, 2:30, 3:15.
Hey, we got to see Arseface on TV. Did you ever think you'd ever see that?
No.
Okay, so let's take our wins, okay? We had a live-action Arseface on television. Not on a movie, but on television.
They're great makeup on them, by the way.
Yeah.
It's just like the books. Kind of crazy. Anyway, 2:30, 3:15 is on Saturday. I put this one in for you, Mike. The Orville panel. Nice. I've only seen a couple of the episodes of The Orville. I like it. It's very heavily Star Trek influenced, by the way. But I think this series is kind of taking its own little... It's kind of getting its own little pocket of fans, its own little pocket of universe out there.
Yeah, it did. I mean, when it first rolled out, I was scared of it. I was like, I don't want it to be... well, originally, actually, I thought it was going to be Galaxy Quest style. I thought they were just going to make a show about a Star Trek kind of show and basically make it cheesy like Galaxy Quest was, but not tell the story of the actors, but just actually do the real story of you know, these space voyages. And then when I watched it, I'm like, no, they're taking themselves serious. And then when they really delved into their weekly shows, and they took on social issues in these shows, and then I was like, wow, this is okay. This is what the 60s Star Wars was. The 60s Star Trek took its cue from a lot of the social issues of the time. You know, there's that one of the original ones was of the black and white man. He was half black, half white. And then there was another people on their world. They were black and white, but they were opposite. Even though they were the same people, they thought of themselves as two different types of people. So it was very, you know, very social, you know, social issues there. And that's kind of what Orville's doing. You know, there's the one scene with one of their officers. He comes from a dominantly male species. Their children are born and they can choose which way to go. And every once in a while, a female is created, and him and his lover had a heavy discussion. And this discussion traveled across a lot of the series about, you know, well, I decided to go with what my culture wanted, but I felt like I took away their ability to choose.
Definitely an interesting series that I haven't watched the whole thing of, but yeah, it does. Found a lot of social network stuff in there.
So. Yeah, it is the Star Trek we didn't know we needed. You know, it's a lot of people are bashing the other Star Trek. I'm okay with the other one. It's taking chances, it's taking leaps and bounds and doing things differently. It's not a typical
one. That's the one thing about nowadays. People are afraid of people taking chances and risks. Yeah. You know, I give people credit when you take those risks. So sometimes they do actually pay off.
But then you got the people out there that, oh, nobody takes enough risk. But when somebody does take a giant leap, whoa, that was too far. Well, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You got to choose. And that's what I love. We have Orville that is true to spirit of the original Star Trek. And then you have Discovery, who's still a Star Trek show, but they're taking those leaps and bounds. So I think we're getting the best of both worlds right now.
That's right. Just take a risk, boys and girls. Take a risk, because you never know what you're going to happen to you. Anyway, next up is the Arrow panel. Arrow's final season, Mike, is coming up this year, season 8, 3:30 or 4:15. Season 7 ended kind of wonky. I didn't like season 7 too much. It was a lot of the past and present, and they were basically setting it up for Final Crisis. We all knew that was going to happen. Basically, the season finale hinted at Crisis. So this is the end of Arrow. It's only going to be a short run, 10-episode run coming up this season, which I'm trying to think how they're going to do it, because the Crisis on Infinite Earths, according to the CW, is going to be a story arc that's going to run from 2019 to the beginning quarter of 2020. I don't know how that breaks down episode wise. I saw a YouTube blog that they tried to explain. They couldn't even explain it too well. But anyway, Arrow is coming to an end after 8 seasons, Mike. Don't know if you watch all of Arrow yet. Probably not. But as a whole, the series coming to an end. What do you think?
I think it's kind of due, especially now that they're finally actually having a Batman character that they can now use the real villains that they to go along with the right hero. the 10 episode one I can see. I mean, that's a half a season. Normally, I've seen in the runs for them, they usually do these big story arcs like midway through, usually during your sweeps week, or when they have those couple of weeks off in between. That's usually they leave you with a cliffhanger for the story arc. So I can kind of see that running. And what I figure is the story's probably going to end, but you're probably still going to see him on other shows for a little bit to kind of like drift him away.
Yeah, true. I could see him like making cameos here and there, like future versions of himself, or them traveling to the past.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe what it'll just be like his show will end during the cliffhanger of the crisis, and then like the ending of the crisis, he'll still be there. So we'll get like 10 Arrow episodes, but we'll actually have Steven around for maybe like 12 or 13.
Yeah, I agree. I can still see him being around. He was the one that began this new. Actually, it wasn't him, but Smallville, I always say, began the whole thing. But of this new CW universe on television was him, and he grandfathered in a lot of TV shows. He grandfathered in Legends. He grandfathered in The Flash. Brought in Supergirl. So, a lot of good stuff came from Arrow. So it's going to be sad to see it go, especially Steven. He's done a great job as Oliver Queen, but he's going to bow out this season with a 10-episode run, and we wish him nothing but the best for his future endeavors. Next one is 4:15 to 5, is the Supergirl panel, a show that I despise its first 5 episodes until I started watching it with the recommendation of my co-host on the other side. And I actually enjoyed it for what it is, especially a Supergirl series. The girl playing Supergirl is great. They actually introduced a lot of Superman storylines, which was actually kind of shocking, and they actually kind of worked for her. Last season ended with Lex Luthor, the defeat of Lex Luthor, and the monitor at post-credit scene, spoiler, perhaps bringing Lex back because he is a major part of the Crisis storyline. Mike, thoughts?
Yeah, I can definitely see it, especially, you don't go grab somebody like Cryer just to bring him in for an episode or two. You should have a plan for him, and I think that he's going to be an ongoing character.
Until, and by the way, he was great as Lex.
Yeah.
Great. He was the Lex that I wanted for a long time, since Gene Hackman's days. Actually, Kevin Spacey did a solid job, and Michael Rosenbaum is probably the pillar because he played Lex for so long. So yeah. It's going to be interesting to see where they go with this upcoming season of Supergirl. They spoiled, I guess, besides Crisis, Martian Manhunter's brother's coming next year, who I don't know too much about. I think he's an evil version of him.
Because I don't. John has Megan, and that's about it. There is a villainous version of one of the Martians. I'm trying to remember his name. Starts with an M, obviously, but it's I'm trying to remember. Real creepy looking dude, but he so that might be him coming in as, because he's not a white Martian. He's an actual green one, but yeah, he's a villainous version. If you ever saw it wasn't War, Doom, Justice League Doom, animated, yes. Doom. He's in that.
They also teased the Leviathan at the end of Supergirl season.
Really? Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. Which I don't know how they're going to put Leviathan in there, because isn't that a Talia al Ghul sort of League of Shadows spinoff type of thing? So,
sort of, yeah.
So that's going to be interesting to see how they're going to bring it on there. So look forward to that. Black Lightning, Mike. Black Lightning. I don't know if you've seen Black Lightning. 5 to 5:45 is going to be another panel with Cress Williams, Jefferson Pierce himself. I got to say, 2 seasons of Black Lightning, I dig it, because it's more of that grounded version that Arrow used to be in its first 2 seasons, and it deals a lot of social issues, social issues, and especially a show like that, it is eye-opening. The writing is great, the acting, and I think it is phenomenal, especially with Cree Williams and the guy who plays Gambi, he's sensational. Even the kids work out pretty well. They're not they're not the annoying little kids you think they would be. They actually have some backstory and some meat to them. So I'm looking forward to that. And Black Lightning season 3.
Mike? Yeah, I am looking forward to it. Yeah, that, again, this is one of those moments where, you know, we've talked about, you know, using, finding a black character, bringing him out, using him properly, and this is it. And this show doesn't get enough airtime and enough notice for what it is really doing. People are always, you know, beating the drama. We need more of this. We need more of that. We need this to see this culture more, and we need to have these actors out there. And here we are. Not only him, but like you were saying, the children, the two girls are amazing, and the stories great. That they tell. Ugh. It's and they're getting ignored. We have a black superhero, and then his two daughters, who are also very strong women. And like I said, it annoys me to no end that they're just getting ignored. They're, like I said, they're just not getting that recognition that they deserve to say, hey, yes, we are out here. We are actually doing what people are asking, but nobody's noticing it.
And sad thing about it is Tobias Whale is probably one of the better villains the CW has had for 2 seasons. He's been great. And if you look at Tobias Whale in the comics, he's a joke. He's just basically a big dude who looks like a whale. And in the series, they grounded that version of him, and they made him like this sort of – spoilers if you haven't watched the series yet. He has a condition, which he's an African-American man, but he's an albino with his skin color. But they make him very strong. He's an intelligent gangster.
He's a mean son of a bitch.
He's just a mean SOB. And if you have not watched Black Lightning, please, I implore you. It's on Netflix right now, 2 seasons.
Yeah, you can catch it.
13 episodes each. You can blow by it really fast. It's really, really, really good. So please,
very,
check
very
it
good.
Out.
Yeah, very good. And I keep crossing my fingers. I think you and I talked about this. I think of during season one. I was like, you know, if they wanted to, and they should, this is where the best way to introduce, you know, Static Shock into the world and let him branch off into his own show.
It's right there for the pickings if they wanted to do it. But I think there's something wrong with Static Shock. Like, his rights are owned by somebody else.
DC owns them. You got it from Milestone, so they hit that. But he might be tied up somewhere.
But I've heard that they've wanted to hint at it, but it's some – I don't know. I've read something about it. There's kind of something in the way of actually Static showing up, which I think he fits so seamlessly in that series. It's just – even Jaime Reyes, I think Blue Beetle would fit in that series too.
Yeah, he would.
So
this is somebody being a troubled teenager at that school, having him mentor, you know.
Oh my gosh, it would fit so perfectly. Look at that, Mike. You just added a couple characters of Black Lightning. They should make you a writer.
They should, yeah.
you know. Anyway, the next panel for me is something that I'm looking forward to, and probably Mike doesn't even know about, is a 5 to 5:50 is Wynonna Earp. Now, the reason I bring up this series is a series that my father started watching, The Sarge. And I thought at first, this is stupid. The premise, if you've never watched Wynonna Earp, is she is the great-great-granddaughter of Wyatt Earp. And her job is basically to take all the prisoners who Wyatt has locked up over the years, who went straight to hell, and basically send them back to hell. And she has a gun that was used by Wyatt Earp called the Peacemaker. And the Peacemaker basically, one shot off, brings all the souls that Wyatt had put in hell back to hell. So the series actually as a whole is pretty good. And I've seen the first season, the second season after that, the third season. And I got to say, it's fun. It's just fun, a little bit wacky, a little bit socially conscious. The chick is a badass. I know you probably haven't seen it yet, Mike. I recommend that you should. You would get a kick out of it. It has that old type of Western feel with a new vibe to it.
No, I've actually watched it. Yeah, I did. It's one of those. There's so much to watch out there. I've watched up to the first season. One of those ones I want to get back to, and it reminds me very heavily because I know they never got a chance to do it. But a Western version of Supernatural is how I looked at it. Yeah, I was like, what was it? The Winchester, I think, is what they were going to call it, or
the Winchester, yeah,
or something along those lines. I don't think it was the Winchester; it was something else. But that's kind of when I watched it. I was like, man, this is really fun. This is what that show should have been. But again, you got a great female lead character, and she does an amazing job.
Oh, and her sister does even better. A little cute too. But it's a great series. Check it out. It's been on for 3 seasons. The 4 seasons have been a struggle to get up on, but I think they're in production right now, so that should come up sometime in 2020. But please, it is a comic, by the way, also. I forgot who does it. I don't think Marvel. I think it's one of the indie comics, but Wynonna Earp is a comic. And I have not – I just want to have to pick up. I have to remind myself of that. Anyway, so Wynonna Earp, that's one of the last panels. But the last panel of Saturday – is probably actually not the last panel, but it's actually one of the last panels, is going to be Marvel Studios, Hall H. They'll be going on from 5:15 to almost 7 o'clock. Kevin Feige is going to be there and surprise panelists to provide an inside look at the ever expanding Marvel Cinematic Universe. Mike, I think this is going to be the big topic of the episode today, is because basically we really have had nothing etched in stone of what Phase 4 is going to be. We're going to talk spoilers right now of Spider-Man, by the way. It's been out for a couple weeks. If you haven't seen it, too bad. Because it basically is going to bleed in what we believe is going to happen in Phase 4, predictions and all whatnot. So, Mike, I lead off with you, sir. We got Marvel. We got Feige. He's going to be on stage. You know what happened last time he was on stage? He basically introduced a whole slate that ended this year. What do you think's coming?
I think, honestly, we're going to get the information. I think we're going to get not a lot of clips, but like a small little teaser of Black Widow. We're going to see that because, you know, they obviously everybody's clamoring about the answer for her. And knowing that movie is coming out, you know, is this a period piece? Is it back in time? Is this something, does she not die? All those little questions that everybody, all those sweaties are asking. I think they'll do the announcement for like casting at this point. I know they're still saying that they're looking. I think they've already got these people for like Shang-Chi. I think they've already got the cast out there for that. Pretty sure they're going to just talk to about, you know, Doctor Strange too. Black Panther 2, you know, just basically just do a rundown and have those actors be there to just come out and say hi, you know, where, yes, I am back. I am going to do that. And just do a little tease right now, because I don't think a lot has been in production right now, except for Black Widow.
Black Widow is the only one in production. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't see much happening there. I think, again, like what I mentioned about the earlier one about, you know, you were talking about the Russos and the writers. I think this might be where they actually do those little nods and have a nice piece of, you know, kind of in memoriam, so to speak, for, you know, those actors leaving, you know, or going away for a while. You know, this is their, as far as they're done with their contract. So, you know, this might be the retirement party for their contract. Maybe a new one will come down the road, but I think this might be the time that we have that and just have the whole group together. And
I agree. You seem like the Avengers for the last time, take one last bow before they. That'd be interesting if they have the original Avengers up there on stage and basically say, hey, guess what? Yeah, these Avengers are gone, but these ones are. And then they're going to introduce the new Avengers. That's right. What I'm thinking could happen. You could have like Chiwetel Ejiofor up there with Doctor Strange, Tom Holland, all the new Avengers. You know, Brie Larson is going to be up there. That's what I think is going to happen. And they're basically going to be out with the old. And it's almost like if you remember, Mike, and you're a big music fan, if you remember The Police, when they play one of their final concerts, I believe it was in an MTV Music Awards or some show, and U2 was the big startup band by then. And basically, when they finish playing, you know, the big honor is when they pass the instruments to the next band, basically saying, hey, guess what? You know, it's your turn now. I think that's sort of what we're going to see on the Marvel panel. We're going to see, hey, you know, these guys are bowing out, but we're going to pass the mantle to you guys. You're the new Avengers, and, you know, you go forward. So that's what I think might could happen, and some other most nuggets likely, here and there.
Yeah, they're probably, knowing them, they've got a lot more in store and you know, piled together. I mean, you got to realize they have done so much filming. It was one of those things that I thought about when I was looking at the whole thing with Gwyneth Paltrow and not realizing that she was in Spider-Man. They get these actors together. They're filming a lot of crap at the same time. So they may have actually gotten a few scenes done for other movies. Why they just had all these guys together, and they're just thinking, oh, that might just drop in the cutting room floor, not realizing, oh no, that's for the next movie that I do have a contract for, but it's not in this one. But, you know, and I think that might be, you know, like with Gwyneth talking about, she didn't realize she was in Spider-Man because she probably thought she was filming it was probably something done during one of the Avengers. Yeah, you know, she's like, hey, we're just gonna do something quick with Tom, you know, from Spider-Man, and that she didn't realize that ended up it being in Spider-Man. So that's I think that's, you know, we're probably going to see like little nuggets like that they're going to drop and say, hey, you know, we did this quick little scene or this or that. Maybe, you know, a final goodbye from Tony, you know, from actually Tony, not from Robert Downey Jr., but maybe, you know, a final video from Tony, so, you know, to kind of say goodbye.
I'll tell you what, even, you know, on the subject of Tony Stark, I do like that acronym that he created for Peter in Far From Home, Edith. Even dead, I am still the hero. that still gets me. I don't, spoilers if you haven't watched it, but still, it just kind of pits me.
Tony and his acronyms.
Tony and his acronyms, man. Next panel we got after that, you know, believe it or not, there are more panels after that, is 5:45 to 6:30 p.m. The Flash, CW's Flash, returning for season number 6. That's crazy.
What's crazy is they're doing a panel at the same time as Marvel. Why would you bother?
Yeah, well, it's actually a couple hours after. Actually,
just said 5:30 to 6. It's the same time that let me see Marvel's going on.
No, it's actually because Marvel is 5:15 to 6:40. Oh, actually, you're right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You said 7 something for Marvel, and I'm like, Grant's not going to have anybody in there.
Well, he'll have some people in there. His family.
His family. You know, it'd be like playing in a bar for the first time in your band, and only your girlfriend and the other band's wives show up.
Yeah, do you speak from experience here, sir?
Yes, sir. Been there, done that.
Anyway, Grant is returning for season 6 of The Flash. Last season ended with the horrible villain, which I did not like, with Cicada, the metahuman killer, basically took metahuman powers away. Season ended with 2 cicadas, which was features. It got a little convoluted toward the end. I did like the stuff with the Reverse Flash. You know, she had made him the main villain of season 5, but whatever. So season 6 is returning. There have been some rumors. There have been some set photos of Grant fighting Godspeed, which actually looks pretty cool.
Yeah, those look pretty
cool. And actually, the prediction that the season 6 villain will be the Red Death, which kind of have a head scratcher because it is a Dark Knight metal thing that's fairly brand new, especially what his background is. Mike, any thoughts?
I'm done with Speedsters. I love Flash. I think that they've done an amazing job reigniting that character, capturing primarily the heart of the Flash. To me, he's not the Flash. He's too serious. He's the mopey Flash. He's not the smartass Flash. If anybody's ever read comics, seen animated movies, television shows, Flash is jokes a lot. You know, he's not a very serious guy. Yes, he's serious about his work and his life and his wife. But other than that, he's snarky. You know, he's like Spider-Man. Everybody knows Spider-Man talks while he's fighting. Flash is pretty much the same. Yeah. So other than that, I mean, I felt that he's captured Flash. He's captured Barry very well. I just am done with these speedster villains. We get it. I think you mentioned this a couple of issues ago. We were talking about villains, and there's Mirror Master. There's Boomerang. There's so many. They've shown them, but then that's it. And you got to realize, inside of DC, next to Batman, Flash has the best rogues gallery.
And he's right up there, yeah.
He is right up there. Some of them are very similar to Batman villains. I will definitely go show nod to that. But he still has these characters, and the ones that they have shown have just been sort of joked about. I completely agree with you. The Mirror Master, he should have been a bigger character just because of what he can do and what happens. And
well, one of the things to jump on there for a second, they did introduce the mirror gun at the end of season 5, which makes me think maybe down the road we'll get the true Mirror Master. But because I think Mirror Master will be freaking an awesome villain, especially for a season. I mean, if you do him right, he's great. Yeah. Not some idiot who wears a suit who's just jumping in and out of mirrors. Not the Mirror Master.
Right? Now, I will say Captain Cold was amazing. In fact, they breathed new life into that villain. Like, I never thought that could be done. I mean,
now there was a character that you took, made your own spin on it, and it worked. That's a great example of that.
Yeah,
you took an existing character, you made it your own by putting your own spin. It wasn't like you copy and pasted it and did something else. You just did your own thing, and guess what? It worked. So
yeah, and the actor played it perfect. And I think I will take it back. They haven't just done Speedsters, but even then, Captain Cold wasn't a major villain. He was showed up a couple of times in the seasons, you know, and then he became, you know, Citizen Cold at that point, became, you know, a good guy.
I actually liked him when he was Citizen Cold.
Oh, no, I did. No, I loved him. And I'm trying to remember the other one, the actor that played in
Heatwave.
Heatwave. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, he did a good job too. He's on Legends right now, so he's
yeah, yes,
he's still going. So, Flash season 6 should be interesting. I'm not sure about the Red Death and the Speedster villain again, but then again, they've tried having two non-Speedster villains the past two seasons with the Thinker, who I thought could have been a great villain, but they just screwed him up towards the end.
Yeah.
And Cicada was another one who I thought was just not strong enough to be a season-long villain. They tried to, but, you know, just didn't work in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I understand. You know, Barry is a Speedster. His power and everything comes from the Speed Force. Who, yes, you're going to have them. And nothing wrong with the ones that they have had. I mean, I think Eobard Thawne is probably one of the way he was portrayed in both season 1 and 2 was amazing. So I don't want to bash the Speedsters, but I just think it's too much.
And basically, you know, you're right. They could just introduce some more non-Speedster villains, but, you know, we'll see what kind of take they're going to give on the Red Death, given his background, because that's going to be a little bit tricky. I mean, I'm sure there's a way you could do it. I mean, the way I would do it, I don't think they're going to do it, is my prediction is I think you should make the Red Death Stephen Amell. Arrow is ending after 10 episodes. Why not make him the Red Death?
Yeah, that.
He's basically an offshoot of Batman.
Yeah.
So in this version, you can make him an offshoot of the Arrow, who basically is the evil version of. That'd be kind of cool. He's got to earn a paycheck somehow.
Now, the only Speedster I think I would be actually okay with the Flash doing again, or not again, but, you know, but another Speedster villain would be Speedy Gonzalez. WB owns him. I think that's just that, or a team up, a Speedster team up, I think needs to happen.
Oh boy. You know,
him and his arch nemesis Slowpoke Rodriguez. I think that it works.
Andre Flash.
Hey, Speedy's coming to town. He likes my sister.
Oh God!
So yeah, but that's, you know, an option there.
Anyway, going on to the next panel, following that revelation, is a show that actually I've started to dig a lot, and Mike as well. 6 to 6:50 will be The Magicians. Will be their panel. If you've seen last season, a major character death did happen to one of the Florians out there.
Yeah.
Which I did not really see coming, and I don't know where the show is going to go from here. But the characters around the show are very strong enough in themselves that they could recover from that and keep going forward. Because the show as a whole is really good. It's really good. It's almost like a darker, more grown up a version of Harry Potter. I guess that's what it's been compared to, and I would have to agree with that. But I think there's a lot more elements in there. They introduce a lot more stuff than magic. It's like the gods and, like, you know, the Christianity and all the other different types of religions in there, and all different types of ancestries are on there also. So it's, and you have it circled around a school and magic and just like just different characters. And I think the characters are one of the things on that show that makes that show so good. And it gets a little wacky too, especially if you watch the last season, they had music videos and stuff. And
yeah.
Which, you know, is what it is. But Mike, what do you think?
If you go that route, I mean, you're definitely going to have, you know, you're going to have the wacky side because it is magic. So it just, but I'm looking forward to seeing where they're going to go. Yeah, definitely looking forward to that panel.
Yeah, it's going to be good stuff. One of the final panels of the night of Saturday is a movie that I'm looking forward to for a long time. Kevin Smith reboots Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. The reboot is going to be a panel. Mike, what do you think?
Oh, I can't wait. That's looking forward to it. That's probably one of the big movies I really am looking forward to. I've been a Kevin Smith fan since probably like a year or two after he released Clerk. So I've been right along with him. So much a fan that he had a heart attack last year. So did I.
Yeah.
I figured, you know, if it's good enough for Kevin, it's good enough for me.
Yeah, why not? Yes,
but yeah, no,
you survive and went out to do great things. So here you are.
So I am looking forward to it. Again, I love the characters. I mean, if anybody out there, if nobody has realized it yet, but Kane and I do like our jaunts out to karaoke. Probably one of my favorite ones to do is, you know, Morris Day in the Motherfucking Times, Jungle Love. So
Morris Day in the Motherfucking Times.
You know, it's one of those things. You know, I do drop a section in there. You know, $15, little man. So you know, I do drop that. So I am a Kevin Smith fan, and I can't wait to see what he does. I've loved the last one he did for Clerks 2. where he took those characters and the heartfelt moment of where they were at that age. And that's kind of what I'm looking forward with, you know, in this one, especially doing the whole View Askew universe and bringing everybody back in.
Should be fun. I mean, I can't wait. Like I said, like the last movie was fun. And all his movies are fun. And just to believe they're actually making a sequel to this, it's going to be good stuff. And basically the premise of the movie, you don't know, is basically they're trying to stop the reboot of the movie of Jay and Silent Bob or Blunt Man and Chronic that happened all those years ago. Should be fun. I think the panel itself is going to be probably hysterical. So.
Oh, yeah. Just imagine the cast, and especially if they're bringing back Cockknocker.
Oh, Mark Hamill's got to be in there. One of the worst scenes in that movie is when basically the Cockknocker hits Jay Muse in the balls. I felt his pain.
I am looking forward to seeing that movie. I need a good that one will be in I will be seeing that one in the theaters for damn sure.
I'm going to give Kevin my money, damn straight.
Oh yeah.
All right, the last panel, which is on Sunday, the last panel that we're going to preview right now, we have gone way over, is going to be the last and final season of Supernatural, season 15, Mike. It's over after this. Yeah. Literally, the swan song, which was the name of the last episode of season 5, this is really going to be the swan song. Season 15 coming to an end. No more Impala, no more Baby, no more Sam and Dean. This is it. This is the last ride, literally. And how fitting that the final enemy of the show should be the enemy who was the enemy all along the 15 seasons. The guy who's been making them go through hell and high water themselves, it is Chuck. Mike, thoughts?
We had our Smallville episode, and, you know, it's sad to see it go, but it's also kind of past the time to see it go as well. It's been long. They've lost a lot throughout the years, and not just, you know, in storyline, but I think in characters, which hurt their storylines overall. I understand there's like behind the scenes drama and everything, but you know, when you lose Bobby, you lose Crowley. Those guys were just as big of a part as Castiel was, you know, or even Baby. So I think it's lost some of its luster. Looking forward to it though. I can't wait to see what they do, who they try to bring back in. You and I've had our wish list of, you know, wow, you know, I wish it would do this. I wish it would do this.
I think everybody's going to come back except for Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I don't think he's going to come back. I think his story is wrapped up.
I know, but Crowley won't be back either.
You never say never.
I sat through a panel with him.
I know,
and he made it very clear.
I don't know. I don't know.
They'd have to back up a truck full of money. All right.
Although when you've been on for 15 seasons, you have, you know, some truckloads of money.
From what I heard and what they did to him, it's a personal thing now. So yeah, I don't really like, I'm telling you, like I said, that panel he did, it was just him and there was a lot of words said. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't hold my breath for him to come back.
I'm going
to
hold out hope. I think he'll come back. It'll be interesting to see how they do this last season. The way season 14 ended was probably one of the best season finale endings since season probably 10, when the angels were falling from heaven. That was pretty epic. I just want to see where they're going to go, because basically all the things they've killed and sent to hell are now coming back. And if you look at the way season 14, you know, the main villain was the Archangel Michael, who basically was possessed into Dean. And he had a line during the season, which is actually read true, that he said that God was basically using each Earth as a plaything, as a writer himself, and wanted to see how things play out because he just wanted to watch. And Michael was sort of right. And the finale proved it that way. So now to see that God is the main villain of this season is going to be interesting. Interesting is because death and I guess the void, we're ever going to have something to do with it. Jack looks like he's in the void and awake. So there's a lot of things they're going to be juggling, but you know, they have, 20 episodes to do it. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I could definitely see it. In fact, I mean, if you remember the first episode with death in it was, you know, he said even God will get reaped. So maybe that's how it will end, is that episode will come back around full circle, you know, and he reaps him. I think one of my favorite actors on there is actually the guy that plays Death. I think he does
Julian Richards. Yes. Yeah. Who else? He also appeared in Man of Steel. He was one of the people on the court who actually threw Zod and those giant penises in the sky.
Yeah,
so,
yep.
And they are giant penises, by the way, if you ever watch Man of
Steel. But, yeah, no, it's definitely something I liked it. I can definitely see it coming full circle. But, again, I think the last thing we'll see is just them and Baby driving off in the – off. Not, I wouldn't say a sunset, but maybe a moonset.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna kill him. That's too obvious. But I think they're gonna have their happy ending, drive off, and that's it.
Just another day for him. They move on to the next.
Another day, yep. Move on to the next, and just we'll never see him again. And I've heard rumors that they actually wanted to, they were thinking about doing a movie, and I hope they don't.
Yeah, no.
Because this just don't just let it die.
Something gets lost when movies go to TV.
Yeah, it's just
or
like
the other way around. Sorry, TV goes to movies. It just something gets lost in translation.
Yeah. Although that last X-Files movie was pretty good, but
yeah, that's. I mean, even them. It's the first one was good. It was the second one that was kind of weird. Then you look at I know Stargate started as a movie, then went TV, but then when they went back to the movies, it lost something in there. And it's just I've seen the certain ones do it. I mean, usually you always laugh about TV shows doing their crazy vacation episodes, which are basically mini movies, and those always suck, and you just. You just don't see it happening. I think a few of them have successfully done it. Power Rangers, I think the first one, did a good job.
Solid job, yeah. And then after that, they kind of just faltered. But
well, that's when they started changing the teams every other season or so.
Yeah, that's when it became basically like the Doctor Who. Every season is a new team. So anyway, but that's it. That's gonna be it for the actually preview of Comic-Con 2019. Mike, any other thoughts you have on Comic-Con?
No, I'm just looking forward to it. I mean, you and I could sit here and talk to her blue in the face, but we don't know what's coming. I mean, this is the time that they like to drop the big surprises. And so this is the weekend of shocking moments, I think, are going to be coming down our way.
Shocking moments.
YouTube will be my friend this weekend.
Yep, I'll be stuck here at home watching a lot of videos, getting some notes ready for the show for next week. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think next week we're going to have a giant-sized episode. There's going to be a lot to cover. I'm just so much to cover that our captain here took the Monday off. So
that's right, yeah. Yeah, I've decided I'm not going into work on Monday. So we'll have an extra long episode and be able to drop it to you guys actually on that Monday. So. So right now, so we have completed our latest midnight movie review. We did the Transformers, which is already out, folks. So make sure you grab it. It is the 1986 cartoon animated, however you want to name it.
The good one. That's the way we're going to call it.
We'll call it the good one. So definitely get out there and check it out. Fire up your DVD player or find it online somewhere. And watch along with us. We definitely have some good moments on there. I know you may
catch
some slurring from me a few times. I had a bottle of wine with me.
You won't be the only one.
We will be actually sometime this week. I think we're going to go ahead and drop our poll for the next movies. We have a few that we're going to be dropping, so that will be listed on Facebook. And don't know. Does Twitter do polls or not?
I believe I'm going to try it out tonight.
Try it and see. Yeah, if anything, guys, it'll be on Facebook for sure. But Twitter would be – I would see if it has it on Twitter as well. I thought there's some polls on there before.
I think there is. I think I'm going to try to drop it today because I think we have the – we actually have one, two, we actually have six that's going to go on the poll.
Oh, I thought we had five. So
No. We added a sixth one. Okay. So it's a – But I gotta say, all the choices are very interesting. That's all I'll say.
Yes. So that will be out there on our social media. But like I said, every week, guys, please make sure to check us out online. This week we did not have a readers poll like we've been trying to do. So because this was going to be an extra long episode, and next week we probably won't either. But the readers poll of basically what books we're reading will be coming back. We're going to be referring to that now as the Legends of the Long Box, and hopefully with some help from our local comic book shop Acme, they'll throw us some tips and some new reads to check out, and that's what we'll be trying to bring you guys on a small weekly basis through the Legends of the Long Box on our show here.
Yep, it's going to be some good reads. I actually finished the first half of Vader. I actually finished, and can't wait to give my review on that.
We'll have that. I've got a couple of books, we'll definitely sit down and talk about that. But other than that, guys, I think that wraps it up. This was a beginning to a giant issue. So
it's the way to end the giant issue. Yes. And as always, Mike, we have Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, especially Facebook, where you can give us your contact. Message us anytime, day or night. I'm always awake, so just say hi sometimes.
If you can't find us, just go to heroesasylum.com. Everything is located there. Our episodes are located there. We also dropped our movies and watch-alongs in there in different segments. So you have this podcast. You also have our second podcast, which would be the Midnight Movie Review. And in short time, we have one or two more coming down the pike. So we'll be having those actually there. So if you guys just are ever interested in anything of what we're doing, that's where you're going to find us. So just everything there. And then, of course, there's links to the places that Jeff just spoke about. From the Heroes Asylum folks here, thank you guys for downloading, tuning in. Keep it sweaty.
Get to the asylum.